Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. And we're going to begin in the second verse there. We're going to be dealing with the entire chapter, but going to read a few verses to get us started. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. And when John, that is John the Baptist, had heard in prison on about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, take your word and penetrate our minds and hearts. I pray, God, that you would accomplish your will within us today. Make a change in our hearts, Father, that we are closer to you. And we thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you go through life, it is a blessing sometimes when people will pay you a compliment. And sometimes they come by surprise, sometimes they're deserved, sometimes they're not, but they are always special. And if somebody that is very special pays you a compliment, it even has heightened meaning. So in our passage, we have Jesus paying a compliment to John the Baptist. And what a compliment. Of men born of women, there is no one better than John. Now, John had an amazing life. John is elevated by Jesus' words. But if you, from the outside, just look at John, it just doesn't meet the expectations of what most people look for greatness. He had an amazing ministry. He challenged people to repent of their sins and turn to the Lord and get ready for the Savior that was to come, the Messiah. People would go out into the desert and we're talking way away from anything else. They would travel to be baptized by this prophet in the wilderness. But now, things are not going so well. Now the people aren't coming. Now, in fact, he can't be reached. Now he is suffering in the pit of a prison, and he has been there for about a year. About 5 miles east of the Red Sea, a very dark hole in the ground. John knew nothing but living for the Lord. He lived for the Lord with all of his might. He just wanted to follow God and be the person God wanted him to be. He sought to do all that God desired. But if you were to ask the common person, he would not be on the top 10 list. He would not be exalted by people. And things were getting worse for John. And after all, he loved the outdoors, but he's in prison. He's trapped, and he is going to die. Perhaps that you know somebody who has been faithful to the Lord, who served the Lord, and because of whatever is going on in their life now, they've fallen into a period of depression. And even though they know God, they seem to be depressed. And even though they know God has power, they seem to be powerless. And at a critical moment in their life, they fall into such despair and the devil tempts them and they wonder, does God really care? And maybe that's you today. Maybe you're going through some difficulties and you just kind of wonder, does God really care about me? And so we see John's concern in this passage. Been in prison for about a year. Think of the life that he had lived. Think about where he had been. I think that he lived a good bit of his time in the area of Qumran. That's where the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered. That's a desert area. And in that area, you know, I think he wandered around and he loved to be outdoors. He loved a special diet. I don't know what your health food diet is. He was an organic type guy. He was into locusts and honey. Sweet grasshoppers. Yum, yum. But now, he's been confined. Now it's just the slop of the prison. But even in this place, he hears of Jesus. He hears of the ministry and what Jesus is doing, and he begins to question in his heart. He's the forerunner of Jesus, and here he is in this prison, and he begins to wonder, why am I here? Why did I get it wrong? And he sends his disciples to ask, are you the one that is to come? Or do we need to look for another? Now, John had already identified who Jesus was. We know that. They're out from the desert. If you travel, you get to the Jordan River, and there is a very special crossing of the Jordan River. One of the highlights of my trips to Israel has been to go to that particular place. It's not where most people go to be baptized in the Jordan River. It's away from the city. It is actually the crossing place where the children of Israel came across into the Holy Land. That's where Jesus was baptized. And Jesus was baptized by John. John would have people go to that desolate place, and there in that spot he would baptize them and challenge them to repent of their sins and to turn to God. And Jesus went there. And remember, John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He told them that one comes after me, that I'm not worthy to even latch his shoes. So when John now says, ask them if he is the one that was to come, that's kind of an Old Testament way of saying, are you the Messiah? Are you the real thing? Are you the one that the Bible has spoken about throughout the ages? Or do we need to find somebody else? Have I really told people that you're the Messiah and you're not? Have I wasted my whole life and I'm here in the prison? John's trying to find meaning for himself and wanting to know that he hasn't wasted his life. Are you the one I told people that you are? Well, John had told people about Jesus. He had lived telling people about Jesus. There comes one who is greater than I, who will rule and reign. But as he hears about Jesus, Jesus isn't ruling. Jesus isn't reigning. So he sends his disciples. People sometimes decide in their own mind how Jesus should act. People have expectations in their own minds and in their own hearts. They think Jesus should do certain things or Jesus should accomplish certain things. Maybe you have been one of those people and you pray that Jesus would do something in your life and Jesus would handle something in a certain way. And when it didn't happen the way you thought it should, you question Jesus. Well, listen, Jesus doesn't have to live by your expectations. He has to live by God's expectations. And so John had told the people about Jesus. He wants to know, are you the real thing? We question. John questioned. Here is a great man, John the Baptist, and he questions. Are there things you question? Are there sometimes doubts in your mind? Let me tell you a truth. There are many things that I do not understand. So when John questions, he's like us. But you know what he did with his questions? He took them to Jesus. And that's where you need to take all your questions. You need to take your questions to Jesus. You need to spend some time in Jesus' Word, and you need to find out what God says about what your needs are, because that's where the questions are answered. So John has concerns. And then we see Jesus' compassion. Verse 4, Jesus said, "When you go back, you tell John what you hear and what you see." Jesus could have been upset. Jesus could have said, "Well, who is John to question me?" You know, there are other times when Jesus chided his disciples because they showed a lack of faith. He doesn't do that with John. His heart goes out to John. He knows that John is suffering. He knows that John has served well. At the moment, he's in the midst of a healing service. The Bible tells us the blind were able to see, the lame were able to walk, lepers were being cleansed, the deaf were being made able to hear, the dead were being raised. The poor, those that nobody attended to at all, were having the gospel brought to them. Well, when Jesus says, "Go tell John that," he was confirming himself to John. Because that's exactly what the Bible says that the Messiah will do. It's a paraphrase of Isaiah 35, verses 5 through 6, which tells us when the Messiah comes, this is what he will be involved in. John is at a difficult point in history. John is a guy in the middle. He is in the middle of the Old Testament and the full revelation of God. He is right there. He doesn't have all the information. He has some of the information. He is charged by God to give the information he has. He knew the glory passages about the Messiah. I don't think he really understood the suffering passages. You know, it's easier to get excited about the glory than it is about the suffering. And so Jesus reaches out to him in compassion, and Jesus moves to bless his life and to draw his life closer to him in compassion. You know, messages of heaven's sweetness are a lot easier to take than messages about judgment, about trials, about difficulties. John didn't realize that the Jesus who would reign on high must first suffer, bleed, and die on Calvary. Tell John what you're hearing, what you have seen me do. And then he adds, "Happy is he who is not offended in me." It's a personal word saying, "John, don't believe your doubts. When you don't have all the answers, just trust me." My friend, there will be days when the devil will send you doubts. There will be hard days. For some, there will be suffering days. You know what? He's still God. Jesus is still Almighty God. And when things are tough, don't doubt the one who can bring you through. "Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he guides us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. And we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the stories how we've overcome. And we'll understand it better by and by." Listen, we won't have all the answers down here. We couldn't take all the answers down here. But just one step on the other side, we will know as we are known. We'll have the answers. We'll spend eternity telling of the glory of how God brought us through all that stuff that we endured. And it is all to His glory. And you know, when you get on the other side and when you get to see the full picture, you know what? You're going to say, that's exactly what should have happened. That's exactly how God should have done it. There are many things I don't understand, but I understand I've got a God that loves me. I've got a God that cares for me. I've got one who wants the best for me, and He was willing to go to the cross for me. Then we find John's commendation. When the disciples of John began to leave, Jesus immediately started talking about John. He started telling His disciples about what a great man John was. All his life, John had humbled himself. All his life, John was talking about another. All his life, John was willing to say, I need to be less, he needs to be more. He must increase, I must decrease. How different that is from some preachers of our day who want their names up in lights, and seldom do you hear about Jesus. Oh, John was willing to take a back seat to elevate the one that he was called to serve. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due season. Jesus exalts John. He lifts him up. He elevates him. You know, I hope somebody told John that. You know, it would have been good for John to hear those things, I think. I don't know whether he heard them or not. I know he knows them now. Jesus says, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? In that region on the banks of the Jordan River, there's some high reeds. They can stand 6-7 feet tall, and they look very sturdy, but you let a wind come through and they will bow all the way down to the ground. Was John like that? Did John just bow with the wind? Well, that sounds like some people in Washington, doesn't it? Which way is the wind blowing? That's the way I'll go. Well, that wasn't John. Did you think if you went out and saw John, that was the type of person he would be? What did you go out to see? Did you go out to see somebody in soft raiment? Did you go see somebody in fancy clothes and soft raiment? No, this is a guy in animal skins out in the wilderness, dressed like an Old Testament prophet. Those in fine raiments would be found in a king's palace. They would be trying to curry favor with the king. They were trying to be whatever the king wanted them to be, and so they could elevate themselves. They wanted to do what the king wanted so they could get out of work. Those were in soft raiments, were in king's houses. They were not in the king's prisons. John did not take the easy way out. He didn't bow to the king. He condemned the king for his sins. The king had taken his brother's wife, and they were living openly outside of God's will. John didn't do what everybody else did, said, oh, how nice, how nice she is, how nice he is. No, he said, you're out of God's will. He called them out, knowing very likely that it would mean his death. You know, many people today compromise. Just compromise with the world, it'll be okay. You know, the world wants us to elevate the ungodly. The world wants us to say homosexuality is just fine, it's okay, it doesn't matter. Strange, we pick the sins we want to say are not that bad. Usually they're our sins. And we want to say they're not that bad. We want to jump on everybody else's sins and say how terrible they are. Don't compromise God's word. Just because the world is saying sin is okay doesn't mean the church has to say, okay, we're okay with it. You live any way you want to. It really doesn't matter what the Bible says. We can't go there. Oh, but many are. It is a sad, sad day that many churches today are bowing to the pressures of society instead of holding up God's word and saying society needs to change. When verse 9, what did you go out to see? A prophet? John was a true prophet. In fact, John was the last prophet, God's champion, speaking God's word. They didn't have the New Testament. He was proclaiming it to them before they knew what it was. He said, John is more than a prophet. He announced the coming of Jesus into the world. John was the one prophet that had been declared by prophecy. You know, John was a prophet, but he was prophesied about. It was prophesied that John would be there to give the prophecy. In Malachi 3:1, there would be a messenger to come preparing the way for the Messiah. Now, that was thought to be that Elijah would come. If you go to a Jewish Seder, there will be Seders around Christmas time and around Hanukkah, there's the Jewish Seder, and they leave a chair open. They have a time when they go to the door and they open the door to look for Elijah, because Elijah is going to come before the Messiah. I got news for them. He's already been. His name was John the Baptist. Verse 11. Among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. John didn't seem that great. You know, the world may look at God's servants and think they're not much. But let me remind you, when you think you're not much, when you think your life doesn't count, you remember the cross and who went there for you. God thinks so much of you that he allowed his son to go to Calvary's cross for you. Oh my, how he loves you. Oh, how he cares for us. Well, John was a great man. Jesus said John was a great man. And then he says something really strange. He says, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John, who was the greatest man that had ever been born of woman. Say what? He says, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, If you confess your sins, if you turn from your sins and turn to Jesus and invite Jesus to come into your heart and to save your soul, you are blessed and have knowledge that John did not have. John did not know of Calvary's sacrifice fully. He lived on the other side of Calvary. He did not know the full sacrifice of Jesus from the cross, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and going through the agony of the cross until he said, it is finished. He did not know that Jesus was taken from the cross and put into a tomb, and he did not know that after 3 days, to the glory of God, Jesus arose, showing power and victory over everyone and everything and every sin. He didn't know. John didn't know the power of God released into the church at Pentecost, so that now when a person comes to know Jesus as their Savior, he enters our heart in the person of the Holy Spirit, and we have God's power within us. John did not know that. We have privileges John did not have, and in those privileges, we are blessed above John. It says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. The violence take it by force. That's a confusing verse. There are certainly those in the kingdom that have suffered violence. Those that have tried to follow God have been persecuted. It's going on this very day. But you know what? We don't need to let the world determine our faith. We need the Lord to determine our faith, and we need to put our faith firmly in him. We need to stand in Jesus. You know, this is saying when you come to Jesus, you need to get serious. You see, it's a serious matter to understand that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. It's a serious matter to understand that your life is not right because you have messed up and you can't help your life. And so we've got to repent of our sins and commit ourselves to our Lord Jesus and allow him to forgive us, allow him to save us. We need people to get serious about Jesus and come to salvation. And we need to be sharing that good news. Well, this is Elijah. This is Elijah. Luke said John came in the spirit and power of Elijah. Says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. From our perspective, you can see who he is. From our perspective, you can see what God was using him to do. John came preaching a pretty tough message. I mean, he was not really sweet in his communication. John spoke judgment, wrath, hell, repentance. It was really turn or burn. I mean, he got right down to it. You know, people don't like to hear those things. Oh my, you might offend people. Don't say those things. Don't talk about people's sinfulness. Don't talk about the evils of people's lives. Don't tell people that they need to change. Don't offend people. Well, John didn't really care about offending people or not. He just told it like it was. Sometimes it's hard to hear when people tell it like it is. And so some people drifted away from John because of how he spoke. Well, what about Jesus? Jesus came, he preached love, mercy, joy, and victory. He preached an eternity in God's world, in God's kingdom. What did they say about Jesus? They said he's of Beelzebub. They said of Jesus that he's a friend of sinners. Oh, I'm so glad he is. I'm so glad he is because as a friend he reached out to me. The Bible says wisdom is justified of his children. You know, there are people that turn away from different preachers because they have different styles. They do things differently, and you may like one preacher over another preacher. You know what you need to be listening for? God's truth. Just listen for God's truth. Take God's truth and apply it to your heart and your mind and understand there is room for both kinds of preaching. There's time when you need to hear a little wrath from God. And there's time you need to hear the compassion and love of Jesus. And God can use both of them in your life. God used John to shake a world and tell them the Messiah's here. To point to Jesus and to elevate him. John is great in heaven's eyes. Listen, do you want to have the greatest life you can have? The greatest possible life you can have is surrendering to what God has for you to do. The greatest possible change that you can make is letting Jesus become your Savior and Lord, bowing your life to him and following him and making that a determination. The greatest thing you can do is what Jesus has told us to do. Tell somebody else about him. Challenge others for him. Reach out to others in his love and in his care and seek them to come to him. Greatness is found in knowing and serving Jesus. We're about to go into the Christmas time. And old people get all excited about the babe in the manger. Something to be excited about. But the babe in a manger came to give you the greatest Christmas present possible. He came so that he could pay for your sins and mine. So that we could be totally forgiven. And so we could have eternity in heaven. So we could be in his family. So we could have his best. And listen, being in God's family is the greatest you can ever be. Would you come to Jesus today? If you've never met him, would you just walk down the aisle, say, I want Jesus? Very simple. If you're listening online, go to prayer, invite Jesus to come into your heart, ask him to forgive your sins, to save your soul. Then tell somebody. It all starts with your decision. Well, James was a believer. James had some doubts, but he stuck with his beliefs. Listen, keep your beliefs in Jesus. He will see you through whatever comes your way. Whatever you're dealing with now, he will see you through, and he can give you the victory. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for our time together. We ask now, Father, that you would bless a time of decision. Father, listening at this moment, there are some that have never invited Jesus to be their Savior. And I pray that right now, Father, that they would be willing to reach out to Jesus, invite Jesus to come into their hearts to save their soul. Father, I thank you for believers that have already made that decision. But Father, right now, I pray that we would go the next step, that we would be able to commit ourselves as John the Baptist committed himself totally to your will, Father, that we would serve you, that we would tell a lost world about Jesus. Father, maybe today is a day of rededication for lives all around this room and all who are listening, that Jesus might be first and foremost. And Father, only as we lift up Jesus do we see greatness. Thank you for what you'll do right now, in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come as we sing?